2014. Mayworm is standing outside in her nightgown and slippers. Jane Jr. comes outside wrapped in a blanket. There's a snowstorm happening, a polar vortex.
Mom, what are you doing out here?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jane Jr. I was having the most horrible dream.
What happened in the dream?
It was about heated, permeable pavers.
What are that? Is those?
Well, they're... Gosh, they're... It's the strangest thing, in my opinion. Permeable paving is a type of paving that lets the water drain right through to the ground below. It has pores. Water can directly infiltrate on site, you know? And that's important. The water doesn't have to go all the way off site for treatment. The roads look like bricks or blocks, but the surface would be quite smooth, and the water would go through the pores and cracks. But now, heated permeable pavers are permeable pavers with heat things under them. So you can imagine what that means. It means that during ice storms, the ice melts right away, and the water goes right down to the ground. With a permeable system, melting snow drains below the pavers rather than remaining on the surface and refreezing into ice. Typically, a snowplow clears the bulk of the snow. Salt is applied and the ice goes away, but kind of dirty in its way. And there have been rumors about salt being bad for the environment, like the soil. I don't know. I'm looking into it. Obviously, I care, but I don't care as much as I pretend to care, just between you and me. Anyway, with the heated pavement system, no plowing or salt is needed. All snow or freezing rain that hits the surface melts and drains immediately. I read about heated permeable pavers in the paper and brought them up in a meeting. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. They're trying them out in Minnesota and over in Davenport. They worked in Nebraska. But gosh, Jane Jr., it would be such a big change. It'd put all the plow guys out of business and all the salt truck guys too, and imagine the construction. And I just don't trust a road like that, a ground like that. Like, is this Evanston or Disneyton? I can't stop dreaming about heated, permeable pavers. I feel as though they're coming. Like they're snaking underneath us now. That's my dream anyhow. And I don't know, it's a nervousness. I'm sorry for talking so much. How was your day, sweetie?
It was okay. I helped out a lot at the nursing home.
That was great. Did you sing?
Yeah, I sang.
What'd you sing?
Amazing Grace.
Oh, that's my favorite. Wish I could have heard it. Oh, look, honey. There go Peter and Basil in the salt truck. It must be late or early. Wow, those guys. Wave to them.
They wave, a honk in response.
We should go to bed. It's so cold.
Yeah, they're calling it a polar vortex.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, a polar vortex. I worry for this town.
Okay, but don't worry about the heated permeable pavers, Mom. They're not here yet. It's still salt right now for the roads.
Wow, you're right. It's just change, you know? Change is repulsive to me, but... What happened? I used to love change. And now? Okay. It's still salt right now for the roads.
They go inside. The wind roars. Now we're in Mayworm's room. She's dressing for work. Jane Jr. enters.
Mom?
What's up, sweetheart?
I couldn't sleep.
No, no, why not?
I was thinking bad thoughts and I just want to think about anything else.
Okay, I understand. What kind of bad thoughts?
Like about dying and screaming, but I just want to talk about anything else.
It's okay. Let's talk about anything else. What do you want to talk about, Jane Jr.?
Well, I want to talk about dark matter. Some old scientist at the nursing home told me that we only know about 4% of the matter in the universe. Dark matter is everything else. So there's probably so much going on around us that we don't even know about. Like 96% of everything is unknown. And does that mean that everything we know about is also 96% unknown? Like, do we only know 96% about apples? I don't know. And so then it's like... Why am I so wrapped up in my problems?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not the only one who has problems. We all have problems and we're all surrounded by dark matter that we don't even understand. But anyway, I'm so obsessed about this idea that I have some problems. Shaking problems. Like, I can't control my body at night and sometimes I cry and cough. And being a woman... The best thing about being a woman is being smart and doing lots of special things for people and helping old people and helping others. I'm happy God made me how I am because I have green eyes, and I am sensitive. The best thing about my heart is that I can talk to anybody. And I want to marry a famous singer. And I want to live with a famous singer in a warm place.
Yeah, you've mentioned this before. How do we make that happen?
I don't know. Any ideas?
Hmm. Hey, it's getting late. I should go to the office. Did I tell you we might be getting some new equipment?
Can we solve one problem at a time, please?
Yes, sorry. Jane Jr., I really should go.
Okay, fine.
Are you going to the nursing home today?
No.
Why not?
Because it's too insanely cold out.
Yeah, I gotta be at my office, though. What are you gonna do all day?
I don't know. I really have no idea. Sit around, sing in the shower, think about dark matter. Just get through it, I guess.
Oh, come on now.
I have nothing to do. I have something to do tomorrow, but I don't have anything to do today.
What do you have to do tomorrow?
Teach myself a dance.
What dance?
This dance by the singer named Guadalupe X.
What's it for?
Just for myself to know.
Why don't you do it today?
Because today's not the day I do it. Today's just a day, and I have to get through it.
Well, if you want, you should read this book.
The Life and Death of Great American Cities.
It's so good. It's by Jane Jacobs.
This isn't my thing at all.
But it's my thing. I'd love for you to read it. It's my whole thing. Okay, off to work.
Okay.
Be good to yourself today.
I'll try.
Stay warm. Stay cozy. Oh, you can eat the leftovers from Lucky Platter.
Okay.
Stay warm. Stay cozy. Be a bean.
Okay.
Mayworm heads out.
Mom? Mom?
Mayworm comes back in. Jane Jr. falls on the ground.
What is it? Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm sorry. I just got so scared. I got so frustrated. I was thinking about how all the coasts will flood and Florida won't exist and New York won't exist and an earthquake will hit the Pacific Northwest so Seattle and Oregon won't exist and everyone will come to Evanston. Everyone will come to Evanston, Mom, and we'll all look out our window and there will be thousands of people all the time. And it'll all be so weird.
Oh, dear. I don't think we have the infrastructure for that.
For what?
All those people. Evanston was built to be two things, a nice little college town and a quiet haven for Chicago's bourgeoisie. So I don't think we'd have the infrastructure to handle that kind of influx.
Mom.
Yeah?
Don't go to work.
Oh, I have to.
It's a snow day.
Not for me.
Let's take a vacation.
We already did in December.
Let's watch a movie.
I've got so much work.
Let's pray to Jesus.
Ooh, I don't know if I could.
Let's leave Evanston.
This is our home.
Let's live in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Why there?
It's where Guadalupe X is from.
James Jr., this is our home. You used to love it here, and I need to be at work. We're talking about heated permeable havers today. It's a lot of big decisions.
But you don't want to be alone!
Do you want to come into work with me? Like you did when you were a kid?
No.
All right, then. You'll just have to figure out your day.
Fine.
You're an adult.
I know.
You'll be fine.
Thanks.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I just am really not looking forward to the year 2014. This is going to be such a ridiculously stupid year. I just wish that your job wasn't assistant director of public works. I wish you were the assistant director of private works. You sit around all day talking about what to do with the roads and parks and sidewalks and salt and street signs, but you never talk about what to do when you're alone in a polar vortex and you have all day to yourself and your mom's at work and your dad's dead and you're not teaching yourself to dance until tomorrow. Like, what do you do with that day?
I wish I were the director of private works, not assistant director. Because then, you know, I'd make more money.
Bye, Mom.
Bye.
Have a good day. Figure it all out.
Okay, I'll see you soon.
Okay.
Mayworm leaves. Jane Jr. doesn't know what to do with herself. She picks up the book her mom gave her.
The book should be called, like, The Life and 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 Life of Mediocre American Towns.
She throws the book. 2015. Jane Jr. is dancing to a pop song. It's a pop song by Guadalupe X. She dances very well, very hard. She shakes her butt and imagines that she is surrounded by cute boys and beautiful girls. Maybe she is. Maybe they swarm in. Mayworm enters and the magic stops. Jane Jr. turns off the stereo.
Hi, Mom.
Hi.
Hi, okay. Wow. I'm sweating.
Were you dancing?
Yes.
You're getting very good.
Thanks.
You can keep dancing.
No, I'm fine.
You don't like dancing around me?
Not really.
Oh, I wish you did. I wish very much that you did.
Oh.
Yeah, it's okay.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry, Mom.
It's okay.
How was your day?
It was fine. It was a day. It was not as good as other days. It was not a great day. I hated it.
I'm sorry.
Not your fault?
Right. Not my fault. Don't say sorry if it's not your fault.
It's okay.
Oh, I know.
You know.
I know.
Can I tell you about my day?
Sure.
And then I want you to tell me about yours.
Yes, that's fine.
That's a plan. Let's shake on it. So, I went to work today and Suzanne slapped me on the back. Oh. They want to switch over to... can't even say it.
Mom, calm down.
Sorry, it's just... Peter's wife died.
Who?
Peter. He's one of the truck guys. One of the guys who salts the roads.
Oh, yeah. His wife died?
She died. She was driving and the road was icy and she skidded onto oncoming traffic. Her daughter was in the back seat. Luckily, the daughter is alive, but oh my God, it's so horrible. And Peter's just acting so strangely and I'm feeling this guilt and it's been slowing me down. It's been... I was looking for solutions, of course. Heated, permeable pavers, but those are the scariest. They're the scariest things in the world to me. Heat, like a snake. So I haven't been doing anything at work. I heard them say she does not work that hard, and I heard them say she has no sense of urgency, and I heard them say she's never doing it. But I am a city planner, and I've read the books, and it is my dream.
Mom.
Shh.
Breathe. You're going to be okay. Everything's okay. You're home now. You're cozy.
Okay. And I asked her what she would do about the budget.
Who?
Suzanne Robinson.
Right.
She showed me the budget, Jane Jr., and oh my God, the cost. Oh God, heated, permeable pavers. No one knows how to put them in. We'd have to hire a company, and they'd all have their own people, all their own guys. I'm gonna tell the boys.
Tell them everything's gonna be okay. That's it, that's all. Start with that.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. Heated permeable pavers! Same permeable pavers with a rock chamber underneath, right? Turned on manually. Could be heated by solar power, could be hooked up to a central electric grid. Those could be linked if there was an internet connection by a computer. They could link to the indication, the National Weather Service's data, and then would automatically turn on if there was a need. One brick has an arc inside it for more water storage capacity, but in winter, the street could supposedly heat to 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Snow removal guys come and push more snow on top of it, so it becomes kind of a smelt chamber. Bioswales are being installed more and more often. A lot of snow needs to be removed from out of the system. It's got to be removed from the streets. Go dump it somewhere. You melt it in its place. You save a lot of equipment time and gas time. But in some areas, it might reduce the amount of salt that needs to go down. Not going to make a huge amount of difference from a salt perspective. Sparing the system from pollutants. Proposals, grants, sections. Calculate the size of the street needs to accommodate a certain body of water that you would expect from a season rainfall or snowfall. Don't think it's financially viable to make all the streets heated. These bricks are designed to allow water to infiltrate. solid base, and then below that solid base you still have rock, but you have larger space for air to allow material to percolate.
Mom!
I don't think it's a concept that's really on their radar. I don't think it's in place. I don't think many places are employing that technology. I think it's a new thing. A lot of the costs are long-term maintenance, sort of theoretical at the moment. I don't think it's employed widely enough to really determine that yet. Minimize the amount of salt, pollutants, and costly mixed sand and salt labor. I would imagine most cities contracted out. They hired construction companies to put it in. In Davenport, they developed a mechanism to lay brick streets. But also that machine basically lays brick. It's like a big slanted platform, and as you back up, it just slides the bricks into space. That would also work for a permeable brick. So the city of Davenport could, in effect, put these streets in themselves through public works. Employees, maybe so. Maybe so. Maybe so. Sorry, I just had an idea, Jean Junior. I'm sorry, I'm here, I'm present.
I'm sorry that you're feeling so bad, and I'm sorry that Peter's wife died, but it's so frustrating when you bring your home work like that, your work home like that.
I know, I'm very sorry.
My day.
Oh, God, yes, your day.
My day was pretty good. I think about if Guadalupe X could be my sister.
Who is Guadalupe X?
A famous singer, remember? She's from Corpus Christi, Texas, and I've been learning her dance for like a year.
Oh.
She's 19, she's my birthday buddy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so.
But tell me more about your day.
Well, I took the bus to the nursing home.
Were you warm?
Yes, I was very warm, actually, but it was very cold, and an old man named Bernard died.
Really?
Yes. He went outside in his pajamas, like you did, and he was crying because he thought there was a big war going on. He's really upset and, like, crying because he thought the bombs were ready to go.
Did you know him?
Yeah.
Was he nice?
Kind of.
I guess that we should eat.
Yeah. Here's a new philosophy. I think that when people get old, they think things will happen that used to almost happen, but then didn't.
I think you might be right.
I know.
Let's eat. And then I have to run back to the office real quick.
What? You do?
Yes, I just have to run back real quick. Susanna's still there, and I have to tell her something.
Why don't you call her?
Because I need to show her some paperwork.
Okay, Mom. Do what you need to do.
Mayworm puts some leftovers in the microwave. They stand there as the microwave runs and then beeps. Now, Jane Jr. and Guadalupe X.
Hi, Guadalupe X.
Hi, Jane Jr. It's so nice to meet you.
It's so nice to meet you, too. Thanks for coming over on such short notice.
No problem.
My mom's at work, so I thought right now would be a good time.
Great. So you like my music?
I love your music and your dancing.
What's your favorite song of mine?
It's hard to pick, but probably Get You Going.
Oh, totally.
Or maybe I Know What I Did Was Wrong.
Oh, you like that one? That one's so sad.
I know, but I like it.
That song was written by a sad white guy. Some guy the studio hired. He's such a sad guy. So I can't really relate to the song.
Oh, I thought you wrote it.
No, some sad fat white guy wrote it.
Oh, weird. Look, I called you here today because I'm completely overwhelmed by having to live the rest of my life. I just can't bear the thought of living, when so much is unknown, like 96% unknown. And my mom barely cares about me anymore. She's always trying to fix little park water systems, or lake drainage things, or road salt things. And I'm just sitting here being a person. I just don't know how to fill the time, and I don't want to go back to the nursing home, and I'm completely bored and terrified every second of every day.
What do you say about having a life together?
You and me?
That's right.
I think that sounds really nice. How did you know I wanted that? Are you all knowing?
Yes.
And I have a few questions for you.
Okay, you can ask me any questions.
Where's my mom?
She's still at the office.
Oh, yeah.
Do you mind if I make it warmer in here?
No problem.
Guadalupe X spins around and it gets really warm in there.
Oh my God, it's so much warmer in here.
Yep.
You are the warmest thing.
Guess so.
So my mom's at the office?
Yep.
It's late.
I know. They're debating something very serious in there for a long time.
Oh my gosh. Is it about heated, permeable papers?
Yeah, it is.
It's awesome that you know so much about me.
Obviously, you're like my favorite person.
Oh, stop.
Just speaking truths.
I'm so sick of my mom worrying about heated, permeable papers.
Why?
Because she's so worried about them all the time.
Yeah, she's getting really worked up.
I bet Suzanne Robinson is being a pain in the neck.
Yeah, it's more like she's being very condescending and making your mom feel dumb.
I hate that.
I hate that, too. Scooter Braun always does that to me.
Who's Scooter Braun?
He's my manager. You didn't know that?
No, I care about you, not your manager.
That's fair. I just thought he was famous because he discovered Justin Bieber.
Oh, he did?
Yes. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you love Justin Bieber?
I used to want him to marry me. I liked his cute butt and his I'm in love with you voice. But then I got bored of him apologizing all the time and bored of his demons.
Oh yeah, I'm bored of his demons too.
But at night, I have a dream about the boy, Jason Bieber.
Who is Jason Bieber?
Justin Bieber's future son. He's a singer and he's like me.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, I dream about him.
I think you're right. I think Justin Bieber will have a son named Jason Bieber, a singer, and like you. That is right.
Yeah, I know. Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
What would it be like to be together?
I think 5 things. Singing, talking, touching, eating, hearts.
Okay, that's great. Do you want to dance?
I'm a little tired.
Really?
Yeah, I was dancing all day. Also, I'm depressed.
About what?
My dad.
About what about your dad?
He accidentally hurt my feelings? I don't know. It's just, I think it's hard for him to see me up there shaking it.
Yeah. I get that. My dad's dead. Can I ask you another question?
Yeah.
Well, it's a question of, what does my mom do?
She makes sure people can drive on the roads and hang out in the parks and the city can be clean. Her job is about water and cement and temperatures and oil and grass and space and traffic flow and pedestrian flow and sight lines and salt. It's about Evanston salt cost climbing. It's about polar vortexes. It's about salt. It's about city planning. It's about being cold. It's about trucks and windshield defrosting and heated permeable pavers and nightmares and newspaper clippings. It's funny and sad. It's hard and specific and it's self. It's about the men who salt the roads, Peter and Basil. It's also about herself, Jane Mayworm, who's concerned with the future of road de-icing and is particularly haunted by the environmentally friendly menace of heated permeable pavers, which can melt ice instantly, allowing the water to drip down into the road's porous surface. It's also about her daughter, Jane Jr. She helps ease her mom's anxiety. But Jane Jr. has her own anxiety. She worries about her world. She worries about her environment. She worries about the freezing nature of the environment, the contrast between the coldness of the outdoors, the room with the bags of salt, the truck, the porch, the polar vortex, and between the only warm spot, the living room where she holds court with Guadalupe X. She worries about sounds like the wind, the menace of the wind. She looks around and sees that everything is cold and bleak on the outside, pink and warm on the inside. She looks around and sees big puffy coats, spraying gloves, furry hats, sweatpants, boots, brown with sludge, boots lined with salt residue.
Yeah, I know all that. But what does my mom do to get upset?
Oh, yeah, she thinks that things should be one way, and when they're not that way, she worries.
Why is she afraid of heat under the road?
Because it's expensive and complicated and just kind of weird.
Have you ever read Jane Jacobs? That book?
The Life and Death of Great American Cities?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that book. Have you read it?
Not yet. My mom wants me to.
Oh, you should check it out. She has this quote. There is a quality even meaner than outright ugliness or disorder. And this meaner quality is the dishonest mask of pretended order, achieved by ignoring or suppressing the real order that is struggling to exist and to be served.
Oh, cool. That's good.
She was a good woman, but she can be difficult. But so can I.
So can I.
She has this other quote. I made it into a song. It goes, motor scooter riders with big beards and girlfriends who bounce on the back of their scooters, wear their hair long in front of their faces as well as behind. Drunks who follow the advice of the hat council and are always turned out in hats, but not hats the council would approve. Mr. Lacey, the locksmith, shuts up his shop for a while and goes to exchange time of day with Mr. Sloob at the cigar store. Mr. Coochigan, the tailor, waters a luxuriant jungle of plants in his window, gives them a critical look from the outside, accepts compliments on them from 2 passersby, fingers the leaves on a plane tree in front of our house with a thoughtful gardener's appraisal, crosses the street for a bite at the ideal where he can keep an eye on customers and wig-wag across the message that he is coming. The baby carriages come out and clusters of everyone from toddlers with dolls to teenagers with homework gather at the stoops. Yeah, it's something like that. I'm making that song into a new quote. You should check her out. She's really good.
I will. Now let's begin our life together.
Yes, now let's begin our life together.
I'm nervous.
Me too.
Maybe we should take this slow. I have to help my mom.
Yeah, I'll come back tomorrow.
Okay.
Guadalupe X kisses Jane Jr. on the forehead and then exits. Now Jane Jr. alone with a bottle of chocolate vodka. Jane Jr. picks up the phone and leaves a message for her mom.
Mom, call me back. I think I'm going a little bit crazy. I thought Guadalupe X was here in my life. And maybe she really was. I'm drinking some of your chocolate vodka. It's kind of bad and kind of good. In my heart, and I think through my head, I get scared to think about if someone comes into my bed and takes me away. If you are trying to be good, you have to protect your mom. And I know that I can have a good relationship with Guadalupe X because she sings like a teenager and she smiles at me. And I don't know that, but her body is just like mine. And I think that if you dream about bad things, you have to forget about it and look at the good things. And I forgot to get the door when Bernard was knocking and he got mad at me, but his face was blue and I hit myself and he died out there in his pajamas for a long time and I learned how to make soup and I almost burned the house down. But finally, I think everything got better. I have to keep this phone plugged in because of the battery and I don't know where you are, Mom. You're gone all the time. Guadalupe X?
Hey.
Do you know where my mom is?
She's out there in the cold. She's looking at the roads. She's obsessed with the roads.
Oh, no. I'm worried about her. She always forgets how cold it is.
Yes, she could freeze to death.
What do we do?
I could make it so she never feels cold. I could go inside her body.
Really?
Yep. But it means you'd never see me again.
What? Really?
Yep.
That's such a hard decision.
Just let me know.
2016. Mayworm is standing outside in her nightgown and slippers. Jane Jr. comes outside wrapped in a blanket. There is a snowstorm happening, a polar vortex.
Mom, what are you doing out here?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jane Jr. I was having the most horrible dream.
What happened in the dream?
It was about heated, permeable papers.
Oh my gosh, Mom, it's 2016. You've been worrying about those since 2014.
I know, but worries don't just disappear overnight.
Okay. What are the developments with heated, permeable pavers?
We're going to do it. We're going to start putting some in. Do you know where Lee Street is?
No.
It's a little street down by Main Street. We're going to try one there. We're going to rip up some of the road and try one there.
Okay. It's so cold, Mom. We should go inside. It's a polar vortex.
I know, but the strangest thing has started to happen to me. I've stopped being able to feel the cold. I just don't feel it anymore.
How odd.
But I know you feel it, so we should go inside.
Okay, yeah. Mom, I read the book.
Oh? What'd you think? What book?
The Life and Death of Great American Cities.
What did you think of it?
I didn't really get it.
That's okay.
I like the part where she said that the city is full of the strange.
Oh, yes, good. I like that part too. And I like her new book. She says that people should care about how things work.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, let's go inside.
We should learn how things work as soon as possible, because all the things that anyone has ever learned are still only 4% of all the things. There's 96% more stuff to learn. So we need to know what we know. But even what we know might be 96% unknown. So that can make it kind of hard to function. It can make everything seem kind of pointless. But sometimes you learn new things. You learn that you can warm someone up forever by putting a dream of a pop star into their body. And that's the new science. That's the new knowing. And that's the new private work. There's some new light chipping away at the dark matter.
You're turning blue. It's time to be cozy. It's time to be a being. Let's go inside the house and not think about anything else except being warm.
They go inside. The wind roars. The end.
A number of years ago, I The memory of Ragbri stayed in my mind, and it just kept going on and on and on. Eventually, I wrote a novel that has a character that starts out in Maryland and somehow gets on a bike and goes cross country and ends up in a small town in Iowa that, wouldn't you know, is the night when Ragbri is visiting it. And there's all kinds of excitement going on in this, in the town, and also in this guy's life. And I enjoyed the book. Read it a couple of times. Not too many of the people did, but I did. And I thought, okay, that's good. But what about the Quad Cities? What if I came up with a novel about the Quad Cities? Oh, yeah, sure, okay. Where would it be? What would happen? And in one of my bike rides from, I live in Rock Island, up to Moline, bike ride up to Moline and sometimes farther and back, the first couple of miles or the first mile and a half hit me. You know, this little stretch is a pretty interesting place. It's the Sylvan Slough. Oh, yeah. I could, dream up some characters, have them do various things, put them in sort of a jeopardy at times, make some mystery, tell about some history, tell about the fantastic Mississippi River, and possibly even get into some of the, the problems that we've had dealing with a pristine environment in the midst of a major metropolitan area. And the result was Sylvan Slough, a novel. And I'm not going to get into the characters or the story tonight, but basically it's kind of some of the nuances that it has with the Mississippi River. And I'm so happy to be invited to do this by River Action and Kate. And I just even more happy that she is joining me in going back and forth on the reading of this, of parts of this novel. So let's explore some of the river aspects of my novel right now. Okay, this is from Black Hawk, an autobiography.
A good spirit had Caramith, who lived in a cave in the rocks immediately under the place where the fort, Fort Armstrong, now stands, and has often been seen by our people. He was white, with large wings like a swan's, but 10 times larger. We were particular not to make much noise in that part of the island which he inhabited for fear of disturbing him.
But the noise of the fort has since driven him away, and no doubt a bad spirit has taken his place. And now, from the novel.
It was named Sylvan, this stream of water, this slough, but was it really a bucolic strand of innocence, a place of primeval beauty unspoiled by civilization?
It was serene, yet troubled, placid, but in flux beneath the surface.
River oaks and cottonwoods eased the stab of water, calming both shorelines.
But also obscuring the truth, and there was much of that in this out-of-the-way place.
It became wooded and verdant and also took the name Sylvan. Its past was pristine.
Its present, less so.
The river's major water to the north, flowing in an otherwise deeply scoured channel, fought and bullied its way through the rapid-causing rocks. This side stream water went peacefully with hardly a rill disturbing its placid surface.
But beware, the bed was not even. Its surface belied its depth. Its shoreline was similar, not smoothing beds of flood-deposited loam, but a groaning of rock, punched at random with indentations and weaknesses.
And over it all hung an aura of mystery.
Even in its innocent days, its serenity was tempered by something unknowable. Its morning mist lingered longer than the enveloping moisture along the rapids to the north. Its trees and shrubbery encroached perhaps too closely to the water's edge.
But despite its somewhat ominous air, Sylvan Slough was a magnet to all the life that emerged in the countryside around it.
Sylvan Slough celebrated life.
We love edges.
The photographer, searches the vast retina scope in front of his eye, and then with a camera lens puts edges around what matters. And those edges, call it a frame, determines what we call the photographer's vision. We all see what the eyes take in. The master sees with edges and makes art.
We have a propensity, almost a love, for edges.
Nothing satisfies so much as the smooth line of a fine piece of furniture, the stylized shading of a haircut, the circle of the sun cut into a cloud, the taste of Camembert cheese after a sip of Riesling wine, the breaking of temptation with a punch of honesty.
Edges make for contrast, which we love to probe.
When black hits white, we head for the edge, seeing satisfaction and action in the demarcation.
So this is in praise of edges, specifically the edge of the cities of Rock Island and Moline, Illinois. And even more specifically, since these entwined cities have two rivers that surround them on three sides, the edge where the offshoot arm of the Mississippi River, Sylvan Slough, meets both cities. And even more specifically, the off-road path that, for the most part, follows the edge.
This praise of edges might sound like a taut, keen thing, but be wary. An edge many times has two sides, sometimes cutting, sometimes as malleable and as muddled as a river's muddy edge.
And sometimes as soft and variegated as the wings of a bird.
Similar to what we call history. Some things that we thought were clear cut, zip, a line around a face in a daguerreotype, for instance, becomes unclear with time and thought and politics and even intimacy. Our heroes become villains. The bad guy's clothes start looking white. Truth becomes fiction, and fiction smothers into truth. The edge changes, both dims and cups.
Death, of course, is the ultimate edge, our incomprehensible drop. Its edge is both meaningless and all-encompassing, as sharp as a spire puncturing a blue sky.
As woeful as ground gravel in an open wound.
As shadowy as a bicyclist dipping under a bridge.
And the one edge with the mysterious aura in Rock Island and Moline is, of course, Sylvan Slough.
Close to the railroad bridge, a park bench near a history panel erected by River Action also celebrates a lonely, little-used remnant of River Edge, a way to see the progressing flora of an urban ditch occasionally soppy with rainwater, but mostly a mass of resilient cattails, sedges, and wild cows.
On the other side, a wide plain, kept sheared by the nearby Botanical Center, which owns it, is also hemmed in by more of the ubiquitous railroad tracks.
Here, the park bench pushes almost an urgency to mind wander. Both bleak and beautiful, the land through a discerning eye can jump from a windswept plain to a place of historical resonance.
Like a sunken log, burning and consuming, but having potentially valuable residue.
But the park bench also gives a sense of something missing. Nature, somehow, wouldn't and couldn't allow such a vacuum. Messy and odoriferous, perhaps, nature's riverland would have life.
Man's alteration through the years has brought the opposite, antiseptic bleakness.
Alas, that has been the fate of much of the border of the slough called Sylvan.
Along much of its length, the Sylvan Slough path is, on its land side, is a mundane sight. Trucks backing into bays, cars pulling up and parking, workers on short jaunts across the pavement. Waste receptacles abound, along with the ubiquitous youngster dumpsters. It is paved over almost completely, except for a few areas of shrub grass and weeds.
The view is reminiscent of much historical American industry. Factories with their backsides to both rivers and railroads, which quite naturally followed the riverbeds with their fat, flat gradients, built for efficiency, not beauty, and using the back areas for either long-term or temporary storage of what was eventually either thrown away, recycled, or remains there still.
An artist would tint the area gray.
And the view would be just about the same, even amid the greenery of summer leaves. No one comes here to take in the sights or enjoy it as part of a vacation.
No one, that is, except for the fortunate few who can celebrate it and glory in its primitive and special beauty, who can bike, walk, run, or skate through it and realize that it is a special place in the historical, industrial, and natural heart of a large community.
The words of Black Hawk, a good spirit had care of it who lived in a cave in the rocks immediately under the place where the Fort Armstrong now stands and has often been seen by our people. He was white, with large wings like a swan's, but 10 times larger. We were particular not to make much noise in that part of the island which he inhabited, for fear of disturbing him.
But the noise of the fort has since driven him away, and no doubt a bad spirit has taken his place.
Sylvan, or was it?
It was named Sylvan, this stream of water, this slough. But was it really a chaotic strand of innocence, a place of primeval beauty unspoiled by civilization?
But despite its somewhat ominous air, Sylvan's slough was a magnet to all the life that emerged in the countryside around it.
Sylvan Slough celebrated life.
So that concludes the reading portion, the excerpted reading portion of our evening. So now please have some more snacks and then join us if you care to for a short talk back. Chuck, you have books here, do you not?
Yes, I do.
Books available for purchase and signing, and he will be available to answer questions afterward, as will Tim Chambers, about the real fact of heated permeable paper. First, for questions about heated permeable pavers, about Sylvan Slough, I figure we can kind of take both discussions at once if that works for people. Questions about the first play, questions about Chuck's piece, thoughts, images that stuck with you.
Well, are there some heated permeable pavers in the Quad Cities, and where?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh. There really are such a thing, though, right?
There are such a thing, and so I think, is it West Branch, Iowa, that, is it West Union?
West Union, Iowa.
They did a major overhaul downtown on their streetscapes, and so incorporating things like permeable pavers, heated permeable pavers. So I think that's like a huge demonstration for how we can turn a very impermeable world, urban world, into something that is porous, so we can manage our waters more appropriately. So the city of Davenport, they have a machine that lays pavers, and this mechanic in the public works department actually watched some videos from Europe where they have lots of brick streets and cobbled streets and things like that, and Mike Clark at the time, the director, said, can you build one? And he put one together, and it's amazing. I mean, I'm surprised he works, I mean, I'm glad he works at the city, but he could be, an engineer building, high-tech seating machinery for John Deere or something. It was amazing, he put this great thing together. So that machine serves two purposes. We can lay the permeable streets, which we have in Davenport at, what's the court called? Do you remember the street?
Dover Court.
There is a series or a section of street that you have permeable pavers. They're not heated, and that overflow either enters into the storm sewer into a series of bio cells.
What block of Dover Court? Do you remember?
Where on Dover Court?
All of Dover Court?
No,
it's just that corner that kind of elbows right at the little park there on Dover Court. Comes down the hill, makes a right turn if you were coming down the hill. But so Brian Steinman, who's the natural resource director, and most of his work is stormwater related, he had brought up the idea of having this downtown with Mike Clark. Also, Mike Clark put together a conceptual plan for really changing how we manage water in the city of Davenport, or other cities for that matter. And so they thought downtown we'd see some huge cost savings. So, hey, you know, all the snow that falls downtown needs to be removed and put somewhere else. That's a lot of back and forth staff time. So if we can melt it right in place, that would be a huge saving. So permeable pavers are that. You know, these pavers that are designed to let water percolate, and underneath you have rock chambers with different sized gravels, if you will, underneath that allow the water to percolate into the groundwater. And by doing that, they also that water is also filtered in the process and cleaned, and so a lot of the pollutants are filtered off as well.
How are the pavers heated?
Well, they would, you would basically run, and I'm not an engineer, so I'm a botanist, so, but you would basically run a heating element through the rocks. And so the pavers they used at Dover Court are designed to have an arch in them. So they're, you know, they look just like a regular brick paver on top, but they're arched, and that arch allows for more water space, if you will. And then it also has the potential to run a cable through it, so you can actually tie sections of brick together so they're easily laid into place with like a crane or something. Mm-hmm. So you can actually lay sections much more efficiently with equipment. And that, because it's designed with the hole through the paver, you could run a heating element through there. You could hook that heating element up to the grid and run off regular electricity. You could hook it up to solar panels. And you, but you'd also have to turn it on and off, and so the idea is maybe you could hook it into like the NOAA's weather station so that it would be remotely triggered when there were forecasts for winter precipitation.
Now, I live in Rock Island, and my street is a brick street.
Right.
How does that compare to these?
Well, like a rain garden.
The snow stays there. I have to get out and shovel.
Well, when we lay brick streets in, or whenever they lay those brick streets in, some of them are new when they repair them, but you're still compacting the earth like you would when you're laying concrete.
That's right.
So your earth is compacted, so there's really no potential for the water to percolate. So
the
permeable pavers are that they allow water into a chamber of rock that's filled with different.
So it's not
sizes.
Just the surface, it's a whole thing.
Right, so even the permeable paver section in, say, on 4th Street downtown, let's say in front of the River Center, it might be look rather insignificant, but it has a massive rock chamber underneath that can accommodate a lot of water. So it's designed to accommodate, much like a rain garden, you know?
Yes,
I mean, we
plant
rain gardens strategically to capture water, and why do we make depressions so we can capture the water into them? And we might change the soil type so that it percolates more quickly, things like that.
Was the first play rewritten to bring in the Davenport?
It was rewritten in response to an interview, in fact, with Tim Chambers. So I think it did bring in, I think I had mentioned the project in Davenport, so that had been a kind of original spark, but then Will had a phone conversation with Tim. And then so built a lot of that stuff out from there. Did you hear yourself?
Well, we talked about salt, and you know, salt as a pollutant, I don't know if we quantified it. We know it's a pollutant, obviously, but I don't know if it's well quantified generally, like water nutrient pollution, like nitrates and phosphorus and things like that. But we also talked about, communities like Midwestern communities want to cut back on salt costs or the environmental issues related to salt, so they mix it with something more gritty like sand, although it's not, raising the freezing point of water, it's creating traction. You use less salt and it's less blue. So we talked about that stuff. We talked about the cool paver machine.
How do you keep plants from growing up in the cracks? Between the pavers.
Well,
does traffic just keep them from growing, or do you have to?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. So the street in Davenport, I mean, I have most of my experiences through River Action and Kathy Line and engaging with the city of Davenport when it comes to approval stuff. Of course, for maybe over a decade, River Action has been installing permeable pavers, LeClaire, Kelowna.
Usually you just lift up the paver and take it out and put it back down. It's pretty simple, too.
You weed it then, by hand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh. Or they have new vacuums. There's this idea that you would kind of have a street cleaner come over it, and by doing that, you're sucking up a lot of the sediments or debris that get caught in.
We have kind of a brick patio.
Yeah.
That we're always having to weed all the time. song.
Right, well, but that's, you know, you have to also remember that, you know, there's a chamber on those, so a lot of that sediment or debris that can caught in the crack is really just suspended there.
It'll just keep on going.
It's not packing up, it's not connected to soil underneath like your brick patio.
Okay.
You know, so I guess there's less opportunity, and it gets sucked up really easy because it's not really, roots aren't like growing into the soil beneath it because there is not.
And that street in front of White House, boy, the birds are out there all the time. I don't, they must be going for the vegetation that's coming up occasionally in the cracks between the bricks. That's good.
Yes, because those plants can break up anything.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually. Sure.
And where are the sites where the permeable pavers have been installed, where River Action is?
We did the levee in LeClaire by the from the street down to the museum in LeClaire.
The Buffalo Bill Museum.
We've done the parking lot at the visitor center on the Arsenal Island.
And that's small, that's tied into a rain garden or a biosphere.
It is as well. Those are the two major.
Small one in Kelowna at the public library,
right? At the Cordova. We did a rain garden with a permeable strip in a parking lot.
But are they heated?
No.
Heating is the new thing. But the cost savings, I think, you know, in terms of the downtown of Davenport, I mean, even small sections, like parking lanes, instead of doing a whole street, idea is to actually do a parking lane where somebody can park on it. You know,
you mean a bike lane? You're talking about bike lanes?
Almost like a bike lane. Permeable bike lanes. You know? But we're talking about per smoke snowstorm event. We're talking cost savings upwards of $30,000 a week, calculated fuel costs.
I was just going to add that section of 4th Street was identified as a good spot because the River Center floods in a rain event, and the permeable pavers will keep the floodwaters from entering the Black Hawk Hotel and the River Center.
Six times a year it floods.
I'm sorry, Jonathan? No, I was going to ask. So, I mean, you were saying that they were going to do the parking sections, and then the idea would be that you move the snow onto the
Yeah, so when the plow would come through, they just pile it up on that heated portion and let it all melt and percolate,
So the removal would happen on the sides, and then everybody could always park, and it would be fine. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, let's do it.
And in 4th and Iowa, if you notice, they put in huge sections of permeable sidewalks in 4th and Iowa just over here, right? And the public works guys, Billy Fisher and Brian Steinman, actually designed street tree pits to do similar functions. So they are on like permeable street tree pits, although most street tree pits are permeable. But what they actually do is they put curb cuts in and allow the water to flow into the the tree pit. It'll water the tree pit, but because there's excess water, it fills up the tree pit, and that excess water flows into two rock chambers on both sides, so they don't flood out the trees. It's really a unique design, and they get huge increases in the ability to infiltrate stormwater through simple design.
And that's where?
Just out here on 4th and Iowa, which is. Are you looking over?
Perfect time.
Yeah, so just the block up this way.
Between the coffee shop.
That's right by Red Van there, where they. And they have they took some of the timbers, they milled the timbers from some of the forestry department, made that to them.
So I have a question about Sylvan Street.
All right.
That area has changed dramatically.
Yes and no, but go ahead.
Well, it was industrial.
Absolutely.
Industrial area.
And, right.
And I'm trying to think. I taught geography at Augie for years, and has worked with River Action in giving in the talks.
Normally.
Yes.
But he had talked about that and how that has been transformed.
Oh yes, and the island itself has really been transformed.
Although we can't get on that island anymore.
Maybe next year.
Maybe
get on there with a boat.
And maybe if we can get a decent winter around here, you can go out there on the ice. Mm-hmm. No. Kurt Roseman had a presentation.
That's for the main play.
He had a presentation about Sylvan Island and the slough. Marvelous pictures of the past. Mm-hmm. I wrote this book before I saw these pictures.
Oh.
The steel plant was a major facility. It had a stack 6 stories high. I mean, it was a jumping thing. And now, of course, it's gone. It's just, there's just relics. There's just remnants. Yes, the place has changed very much.
But my impression was he seemed optimistic about the future and its use primarily as a recreational area. And that is going to continue, that sort of development?
I think Moline is considered, it is a park now. Mm-hmm. Moline has officially declared or bought it as a park, I believe. And that's what the future of it is, yes.
Once they build a bridge, right?
Once they get a bridge, yes. Yes, indeed.
Has the old bridge been torn down now?
No, it's still there. Go out there and take a look, and you'll see what happens when you just don't do continually to do upkeep on a bridge. It's rusted, and I can understand why they have to get rid of it. 2 days or 3 days ago, I was going across the government bridge, and I stopped because of the tow going through. And I'm looking at this structure. Hey, 120 years old, and it's still intact. And it moves too. Mm-hmm. It's just an ordinary bridge, you know. It just stays there. No, this thing moves constantly all the time. Wow. You got to admire the arsenal for keeping that thing going. And evidently, it didn't happen in Moline because the whole area there became, well, nobody took care of it before Moline really jumped into it. So. But Jeff Anderson, city planning for Moline, at the meeting we had fairly recently, said that hopefully that in 2017 a new bridge will go in, if all everything works out.
So the existing structure is not repairable. You couldn't
evidently
restore
not.
The exit. I mean, it seems like people and countries around the world restore things that are much, much older.
I think the rust has gone too far. I mean, I don't know, I'm not an engineer, but you look at that and the roadbed is really gone.
Yeah.
Of course, that could be replaced. But I think the integrity of the structure has been gone too far. But I'm not an engineer. But the people from Moline who studied it basically said that, no. You have to close it down, not just a car, not to anybody, but not even bikes or just people. Yeah. One of my earlier talks about this book, somebody came up and said, you know, when I was a kid, we used to go out to Sylvan Island in a car for picnics. Hmm. So, that bridge was used.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it had that integrity then. It originally was a wagon bridge for the industry out there. Covered wagon loads of ice. There was an ice pit out there. It's an intriguing place.
Any last questions? I think we'd better wrap it up and clear out of the building by maybe they wanted us out by 9. But if there's a last question, we can take one more question.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.